Well, some good news this morning. June is being released from the hospital today. And her family's coming up from the Bay Area to pick her up. So that's good news. Tomorrow at 1 o'clock, we'll have a graveside service for Lillian. And that'll be at Longcrest Funeral Home. How long has that been running? Could be this for the breakers. Is it just, no, it's just breakers that we have the fuses inside. Or do they have fuses too? Well, since we've been, last couple of weeks, whatever it's been, almost every day there's an incident report from the security, running people off or garbage left. But at least, was there anything? Huh?
It's working now?
Yeah. It's worth it. It's about $6 a day, but it's worth it.
How many reports have they
gotten? Oh, man, next time you come over, I have to look at my cell phone. I'll show you the one after another. They got pictures, description, so it's very professional. Like I brought out this morning, California passed a law that they are going to put the COVID-19 vaccine in the seasonal flu shots for the children to go to school. No, it's evil beyond belief. They're murdering, they're aggressive and they're evil like I've never seen, killing innocent children. So anyway, that may be a sign that gonna close the church down and leave. Because if you have a state like that, we all have children here and grandchildren, and move to some state where you have some freedom. Definitely something to pray about, because I'm not going to watch my children be barbarized like that by these savages. I don't want you to have your children go through that either. Yeah, but they're slipping it in to the, I don't know if it's an annual flu shot or to begin school you have to have it. Okay, who else? Prayer requests? I appreciate your prayers for me this morning as well. Let's bow for a silent prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word and the strength and encouragement we get from it. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to know you and serve you in this life. And we just ask you to bless the service this morning that we may be encouraged and edified. For we thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter 2:9, or 2 Peter 2:9, sorry. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. What does that last clause sound like to you? He knows how to hold the unsaved down to where they don't get saved so that they are delivered over to punishment. He also knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Now, it might make an adjustment here in the word for temptations. Pyrosmos is what it is in Greek. And it's generally referred to as, or thought of, as temptation to sin, you know, like dangling an enticing thing before you. The word for temptation is really the idea of being thrust into a trial, a very severe trial. And there's another word for testing a believer, and that's dokimos. Dokimos, or dokimazo in the verb, dokimos is to test you, but is to put you through the ringer, put you through the fire to extract the gold ore. So like if you have a bunch of quartz and you crush it up and then you smelt it down, why do you go through all that crushing and that smelting in the fire? Is it just to torture the quartz or is it to get the gold out of it? It's for a purpose. And when we put through that kind of a trial, as God knows that faith is there and he's trying to bring that faith out, because the trial will force you to get back into the Word, to pray, confess your sins, to meditate, all of those things, to get the doctrines that you need. So the trial becomes the catalyst to force you to get the information you need to build up your faith. But that's not this Word. This Word is basically to find out what you're made of. Find out if you really believe. Find out if you really do love the Lord. It's a very, 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 very serious thing to go through. Your life will be upside down. Your brains will be scrambled. You don't know up and down anymore. You don't know what's going on, and you're just struggling to keep alive. It's the substance of what Job went through. Job went through that trial only to find out if he really did love the Lord, or if his motive was to, so God would bless the hand that feed him, that idea. And it's to get at the truth of a situation, because we're pretty good at fooling people, think we're fooling God, even fooling ourselves. So God wants to bring out the truth. And I'm totally against it, but I understand torture and interrogation. Why do they do these terrible things to people? Because they want to get at the truth. They want to know what the truth is. And it's only through all that pain and the techniques that they use to extract the truth. Well, it's like being tortured. And it's to find out what kind of a Christian you are, if you do love the Lord, are you sold out for the Word, all of those sorts of things. Why are you doing what you're doing? You say you love Him, you say you want to serve Him, but do you really? We'll find out. The trial will bring it to surface. So it's delivering the godly out of these trials. That's that, no temptation has taken you, but such is common to man, but God has made a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now I think you would understand that a little bit better. It's not being tempted to carnal sin, although that might be a part of it. It's tempting you, testing you, trying you, and sometimes they really get rough, and He'll provide a way of escape. Okay, what is godliness, or what is a godly believer? Well, a short definition is the godly refers to a born-again believer in Christ that's sitting under the teaching of the Word of God. They read their Bibles at home, they pray, they live by faith, and they are applying what they can to their life. So if the Bible teaches something, they try to incorporate that into their lives. Now, I phrased it like that because it covers a wide gamut of people. There may be Presbyterians. Like that, my stepfather's dad was a professor at Berkeley. He did his daily meditations reading the Greek New Testament in Greek. That was my grandfather and my grandmother, or great-grandfather. He read his Bible every day and prayed, so did my grandmother. So I would call these people the godly. Yes, you're trying to live a godly life, a righteous life, but the idea of godliness is where your metabolized doctrine is applied to life, or you live your own spiritual life in a carnal world. So we want to look at some of the definitions of what godliness is. And the word in the Greek is eusebia, and it refers to the spiritual life that God created in every believer in Christ at the moment of their salvation. So all around the world, everybody who's born again becomes regenerated by the Holy Spirit. So this is referring to our new man, or the human spirit inside of us. Second, the spiritual life is eternal. And it creates, I know it's a blessing, obviously, But it creates some problems for guys like me because I'm living in a body that's, I've got all kinds of problems with it that I didn't have before. And I still think of myself as an eternal being. But taking a look at this body, does it look eternal to you? No. Eyesight's failing, hearing, brain's failing, hair's falling out, all sorts of things to keep the body and soul together. So this is referring to that part of us, because we're a tripartite being, that is eternal. And the reason for this is because the God that created it inside of us took from himself, and he is eternal. And that's why another one of many reasons why we can't lose our salvation is because what's inside of us lives forever. Not the body and the soul. They'll be cast, the body's cast into the soil, the unsaved are cast into the lake of fire. But this is going to live on forever. And it's the idea, in one sense, a Christian is everlasting. That meaning from that point on in time, he will live forever. God alone is eternal. What does eternal mean? Exactly, Dee. He always was, he is, and always will be. In fact, that's the sum of the root word of Haya in the Hebrew, the word that we get Yahweh from. And it, I call it the Eternal One because I always was, I am, and I always will be. As I was in the past, I will be in the future, vice versa. And he is the only one who's eternal. But having said that, and once he took from himself and created that inside of us, so that thing inside of us that God made is eternal because he is eternal. Well, the third thing about our spiritual life, and Yusabaya refers to a spiritual life, is that it is unique to us. Although all of our spiritual lives are all of the sum and substance of the same thing, they're spirit, they come from the Holy Spirit, they come from God the Father, and so we have all of those things in common. But they're unique to us, just like your humanity, guy or gal, you're all human beings, but you all have your uniqueness, the way your height, your weight, your personality. Just totally, and I'm a people watcher. When I go to the malls, I like to sit down and look at people. I'm still amazed at all the, well, not so amazed anymore, they all are caricatures, but how different we really are. So that means no two spiritual lives are alike. And that makes things different. I had a doctor friend of mine, and he said, Mike, everybody's body is different. He said, what's good for you or bad for somebody else might be bad for you, might be good for you. Because the body chemistry of every human being is different. Now, there are some things that are in common. But if I went south of the border, I would imagine I'd get all kinds of spicy Mexican food. But there's people in this church that can't handle the spicy food. Some people in this church can't handle oily food. So it's just our constitutions are different. Our needs are different. Our physical needs are different. Some people need more of these kinds of vitamins and less of this. And the other person might be just the opposite. So when you're sitting there next to each other, you have to appreciate that your husband or your wife or your kids might be different than you. When I was growing up, I never had a choice about the food they cooked. You know, I mean, turnips, rutabagas, who eats that crap? Well, I know who ate it, my family did. And you didn't have a choice about what part of the chicken you got. You got a drumstick. Why did you get drumsticks? Because all the adults wanted the other parts. So you got what was left over. So having that in mind, our our spiritual lives differ from each other. There's many doctrines that we all will need that we share in common. 1 John 1:9, the filling of the Spirit, living by faith, all of those sorts of things. But when we get into different doctrines taught by the Bible, sometimes one person just light up like crazy. So that's what I've been looking for years. The other person will say, well, that's the most boring thing I've ever heard in the world. It all depends. Pastor doesn't teach one person, he teaches a group of people. So you have to get the doctrines that your soul needs. And if you're married, cut your spouse slack, because they may be different than you, and they're going to need different things, because their spiritual life is unique only to them, not to you, and vice versa. And you don't have any right to tell people how to live their spiritual life, because how do you know? You don't even know how to live your own spiritual life. You're not qualified to tell people what they need or what they should be doing. So that's something I think we really need to focus in on, is that the uniqueness of our own spiritual lives. And especially in the last days, latter times, it'd be very difficult times for us to live in. So we're going to need this, more of this than we imagine. It has to be done daily. I can't do this daily here, but we all can do this daily at home with our prayer life, with our Bible reading, with our notes that I hope we have taken diligently and written down, so that we can go back over them and remind ourselves of what we need. And it will be a trial in itself, because of, well, there's what, 19 different things that's gonna, people are gonna be like in the last days. Have you been out in society lately here in Reading? Some of us will go back 50 years, 40 years ago. Reading was a different town. It was a town. Now it's like craziness. And a wave of satanic oppression that you can't breathe in, brought primarily by that place on the hill and the negativity of the people who moved in here. The fourth thing is that we will be living in our spiritual life for all eternity. So what you got now is what you will have forever. It's just like spiritual gifts. Spiritual gift of communicators, PTs, evangelists, what have you. That was a divine enablement given to us at the time of our salvation. God made us into what he wants us to be to serve him. And the rest of it is just the training that you need to develop it. And no matter what happens, that'll never change for a communicator. They have to communicate the word of God. It's a part of their spiritual life existence. And you have yours. And yours is to take in the word of God, to live by faith, and to communicate it to other people. People ask you a question about your life or what you believe, tell them. Tell them about heaven, tell them about hell, tell them about, you say I'm stupid. Yeah, I may be stupid, but at least my sins are forgiven me. How about you? I know that if I die tonight, I will be in the presence of Christ. How about you? You have to challenge them about their faith or non-faith in Christ. Number five, Jesus Christ is a prototype for this new man. There's always an archetype for everything. The first one off the line, so to speak, and that's the one all other cars are built from. He was unique in his species of humanity because he did not have Adam's fallen nature. Because he came into existence in his humanity, not by the seed of man, which is a perishable seed, but by the seed of God with the Virgin Mother. So the spiritual man and spiritual life in us is patterned after Jesus Christ. Some in substance. We are all one with him. And living in your spiritual life is living in that state of oneness with Christ on a conscious level. The sixth thing about this spiritual life is that it needs a metabolization of doctrine by faith and the filling of the Spirit. You see, your humanity, your flesh nature, came about as a result of an egg with your mother and a sperm of your father. Then human life began in the womb at that time. Our spiritual life, the new life, the new man, the new species of humanity created in us, came about as a result of spirit and truth. The substance of this new man is spirit and nature, but also truth. That's why the scripture calls us people of the truth, or the people of the spirit of truth, or the sons of Bible doctrine, or daughters, because that's how we came into existence, is through exercising faith in Christ, and we were born again. Which, by the way, once the Spirit recreates you and dwells in your body, He produces fruit in you. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, long-suffering, and faith. It's not a plural, it's a singular. The fruit, so it has it like a ninefold or nine manifestations of the Spirit of God. I think we can understand that if we know that light, we're looking at light now, has seven distinct colors in it. You can't see it, but it's there. Under special circumstances, you can see each one of the colors. And that's what love, joy, peace, etc. is about. Under different circumstances, you will see the color of the fruit of the Spirit coming up. Dealing with idiots. Are we lacking for idiots in life? No. What would be the one I'd use for that? Well, that aspect of the Holy Spirit would be patience, or it's translated as long-suffering. Joy, peace. Joy, peace seem to me to be on the same spectrum. They're like, joy has a spectrum from ecstatic joy down to tranquil joy. The next step below that would be peace. So that, to me, they're like part of the same spectrum. And you're not always going to have ecstatic joy because of the conditions that you might find yourself in. But you can get to the place of peace. Anyway, living in the Holy Spirit is a part of living in this new man. And we need the metabolization of doctrine inside of us. Because that is through the intake of God's word, our faith in it, being filled with the Spirit, will strengthen us, edify us, spiritually renew us, give us faith, hope, love, joy, peace, create spiritual growth in us, and conforms us to the image of Christ. That's why we need the Word of God. Used to teach three days a week, now I'm down to one. Well, my friend Jesse lost three board members and several families in his church due to medical problems. And all these years of studying and teaching, that's where he's at. It's going on all over. Pastor Glennie is now went from a church to his home to teaching on the internet. And I think he won some Olympic weightlifting thing. Did you ever talk about that, Matt? I know he's a weightlifter. He was high up in it, I think. A lot of great guys out there. Okay, the seventh thing is that use of by takes all these things into account and applies it to life. So that's why we talked about this in the beginning. It's the intake of God's word by faith, the application of it by faith, and the filling of power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what use of by is. So eusebia is where your doctrinal intake is where the rubber meets the road. It's application. And I've been around a lot of categorical doctrinal types and all, they know the doctrines. And they can wage a word war against anybody on earth and win, which misses the point entirely. And the thing that they lack, though, is application. The Bible tells us to love one another. The Bible tells us to seek anger and forsake wrath. The Bible tells us to stop being afraid, to stop being anxious, to stop worrying, to stop being jealous and resentful and bitter and all those things. So what would be the application of those doctrines? To do what it said to do. Start trusting in the Lord. Stop trying to figure things out. It's a hard thing for us to do, but that's the application. And when you do that, that's eusebia. And if you're a guy or gal that does that kind of routinely in your life, although you're never going to be perfect at it, you're a godly believer, because that's how you live your life. So eusebia refers to believers in Christ living life in their very own spiritual life while here on the earth. We have to live in a temporal world. We live in flesh bodies. We have all of the stuff we have to do. But having said that, we still have a spiritual life. And it has to become our priority. Like with what I've been going through and still going through now, my focus, I'm trying to get better physically and all that crap. But I know that the most important thing I got to get straightened out is my spiritual life. That's the most important thing to me. To get my faith up there, to get my hope up there, a positive mental attitude, to not get torn down by all the negativity and the lies and the deception that's going on around us. So that's some of my own personal challenges. Number 8 is that the spiritual life which God created in every believer becomes the conscious experiential point of contact between that believer and God. Oh, it's a nice way of saying that you and he get together in this room where the spiritual life is. Not in the carnal life, not in the flesh life, but in the spiritual life. And that's one of the reasons why it's so important for us to have a daily routine of meditation on the Word of God, of thinking and praying about different things, about going over the Scriptures, going over the promises of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, which I spent more time in studying this out. His divine power, verse 3, has given us everything we need for a godly life. That's our subject, right? Through our knowledge of him, and the word for knowledge is epignosis. And how do we get the knowledge of God? From the Bible. From our study of the Bible and by the promises. Who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. So that through them, you may participate in, or some have partakers in, the divine nature. And the divine nature is the divine wind, the divine breath of God that is extant throughout the entire universe. So how do we partake in that divine wind? Which, by the way, is what Kamikaze is about. We partake in that through faith in the promises. That's our secret here. So he, just like in the temple of God, remember about the temple of God in Israel? Temple of God actually had 3 parts. The hieros could refer to the temple building proper itself. But it also referred to the temple grounds, the courtyards and the walls and everything around it. So that was the temple of God. So we have the temple of God, Jews and Gentiles alike come in there, men and women come alike. They had their assigned seating where they had to sit. And that was in the outer part. But you walk into the inner part, a holy place, only the priest got to go in the holy place. And the Holy of Holies, or the holiest place of all, was the inner sanctum, using the Latin, the inner temple, and that was the naos of God. And that's where God himself was seated above the mercy seat. So we have the place where God was, we have the place outside of that, the holy place where the temples went in and out. Then we had the courtyard and all the rest of it. Where do you think God met the priest to talk to him personally? In the Holy of Holies. The reason why it's labeled the Holy of Holies, because the Holy One was in that holy place. So if you wanted to, and that's why only the high priest got to go in there, and that was only once a year. Well, we have a high priest who's entered into the most holy place in heaven, and he's there interceding in our behalf. And when you and I pray, we are going into that holy place. We are going before the throne of grace, that we may find grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. So when you and I are the consciousness, all right, consciously speaking, what does your conscience tell you right now? Not your conscience, your consciousness tell you. Well, where are you at? You're here in church. You're conscious of that. You're consciously aware that you're in church. You're consciously aware that you're studying the Bible. So your consciousness is present here in this church. Meditation is getting your consciousness into the Holy of Holies. And that's done through faith and prayer and the Word. And that becomes our point of contact with God. So it is, and some of my compadres, they made some good studies on it about how the human spirit is the Holy of Holies in every human being. When the Bible says that our temple bodies are the temple of God, yes, but he actually dwells in the human spirit, not in the sinful flesh. And lastly, 1 Timothy 2:2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. A quiet and peaceful life. That should be our goal, every one of us. So we're not all upset about stuff that's going on, but our focus is on the Lord each day. And by the way, when you guys get together, don't talk about sports. Talk about Christ. Talk about the Word of God. Encourage each other with the promises of God. Who cares what multimillionaires win a game today? Did you get a cut of the action? You got money riding on it? No. They're just multimillionaires banging out the bucks for themselves. When you get together, let it be around the Lord. Father, we thank you for the study. We ask your blessings on it in Christ's name. Amen.